Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
If we're looking ahead on this, and there is a new Alec Murdaugh murder trial, what will it look like compared to the first one? What sort of differences do you think that we will see?
I hope that the financials are streamlined. I hope that if it's Creighton Waters that's trying it again, that he realizes that he does not have to put on 4 weeks of that testimony. I think that they can streamline that. I think that they can really whittle that witness list down and just really hit home with the high points. You know, I mean, that's the advantage to the state in terms of, all right, we did this. We probably didn't need this witness. This was this witness. You know what I mean? Let's get rid of them. You know, and as far as everything else, I think it stays about the same. You know, I mean, they're going to call the same witnesses. The real work gets really interesting is the defense side of it. And it's whether or not Murdaugh's going to testify again. You know, I mean, I think everybody pretty much agreed that the moment that case turned to definitely guilty is the minute that he opened his mouth on the stand.
And yeah, so, and we got to look at it too. In another way, the second round is he's going to be going into it already having testified of where he was. And so the lying elements of that part of the lie is not going to be part of it. But I suppose they could present that in the previous case, you didn't say this, and then at the end you did. But it doesn't have the same impact that it would as it did the first round. The other question would be the financial misdeeds, and does that enter into this, into a retrial, considering it almost didn't make it into the first one? Had, I think Jim said something that kind of opened up the door to discussing that, and then all of that went into the trial, but granted that those things are ongoing and we don't know exactly where those cases are going to be at the time of a retrial, should one happen.
Oh, Jim's never making that mistake again.
Yeah.
Like the whole roadside shooting thing came in because Jim opened the door with that one question.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we can assume that's not going to come in because Jim's definitely not going to make that mistake again.
Sure.
You know, as far as the financials, I mean, look, it depends. I mean, I don't think Newman can sit on the trial.
Yeah.
I think it's going to have to be a fresh judge. And maybe that judge has a different opinion on that 404B stuff with the financials. I don't know. You know what I mean? I mean, those were all Newman's rulings, and they're not necessarily, because it's not coming, it's not remanded from the appellate court where they've decided that issue. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to basically have to, the question will become, does the new judge have to abide by the old rulings, or does the new judge get to hear fresh argument on it and make his own ruling? Because what happens if that judge doesn't agree?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the interplay of that is going to be fascinating, you know, whether or not that's all going to get in again. You know, like it's going to be a thing. I mean, I think substantially it'll be the same trial because the evidence is the same. It's all going to be a matter of what gets in and what's kept out. You know what I'm saying? How it changes the look of it and the feel of it. You know, if you're Creighton Waters, you're like, well, I got a conviction. I want to keep it pretty much as, you know, a pat. Like it worked for us. You know, because if you remember at the beginning of that case, we were like, oh, I hate his motive. His motive doesn't make any sense. It's a stupid motive. But at the end of the day, it worked. You know what I'm saying? So it's because it was a tough motive for people to kind of like really wrap their mind around. Oh, you know, especially the way that the defense was trying to play it off. Like, oh, what you're saying? This guy knew that his house of cards, his financial house of cards was collapsing for months. They're acting like this day was something in particular that would have caused him to go off the rails and decide that he needs to kill his wife and his son.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't add up, you know, and I was on that ship for a long time. I'm like, man, I don't know about this motive. Like, it's a weak, super weak motive, but you don't need motive. Motive is completely unnecessary. Like, people just want motive to understand why. And especially in a case where you're talking about somebody killing their wife and their son.
Yeah.
It's like, you want, as a human being, you want to understand, like, why? Like, what would ever bring you to that place where you're causing that to happen? It's, you know, we just as like humans, we want to know why, even though it's not required under the law to get a conviction on any of the crimes that he was convicted of. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's going to be a good one, though.
The sequel. Sometimes they're better. Sometimes they're not. We'll have to see.
Yeah, for sure. Part two.
Exactly.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.